Many of you already know Mike Miller, but I will introduce him to you again. Mike is here with us from his ministry in Honduras, and we're very privileged to have him here today to speak to us. And so I would love to pray with you and then hand it over to you. Jesus, thank you so much for Mike. Thank you so much for his ministry and the ministry of his family to people in Honduras. Thank you for placing him on the front lines of your kingdom work. I know that is a privilege, Jesus. I ask that you give him the power to do the things that he cannot do through his own power. Amen. The grace to do that which he cannot do in his own grace. And the strength to sustain as you do your work through him. And Jesus, I ask that you open his lips to speak your words to us today. And I pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. You know, it's always an honor and a privilege to be back where Kim and I call home. Redeemer has changed a lot over the years. As I drove here this morning from Bill and Patty Schrader's house, I drove by the old Redeemer, and I thought about, you know, how we as Christians and we as believers, we as a church, are being transformed even in our midst. And if we just look around us, we can see that. And this exciting time of the church calendar, as we see Christ had just went to the cross, to Calvary at Easter time for us and redeemed us, and those of you that believe in Jesus, they were redeemed. And so things have been transformed. And then all of a sudden, he's on the Emmaus Road, and he shares with the two disciples, and he met them where they were at. And this is where I want to kind of focus my sharing the gospel today is on this story and what happened after that, like we heard in the gospel. So if you have your Bible, please turn to the gospel reading for today. And so it just amazes me that the Emmaus Road story, how Jesus came to these disciples and met them on the road and didn't have a Bible study, didn't do anything. You know, he just met them in their brokenness. And if we're honest with each other, how many of us are just broken here today? We have stuff in our lives that we just need to meet each other and Jesus in this brokenness. And so I just see ourselves in that. I see myself in that. And I see all the kids that come to us in Honduras to meet us in this brokenness. And then after the Emmaus Road, Jesus comes in and he meets the disciples. And they're talking about all these things that happen. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Jesus appears and says, "Peace be with you." I mean, I can't imagine. Can you imagine him walking in here today amongst us and we're like, whoa, you know, what's going on here? And then so they start questioning even what they saw. And they go, they think, is this a ghost? And Jesus says, you know, touch me. Touch my hands and feet. And so the Bible calls us to be Christ's hands and feet, to take ourselves out into this broken world in Honduras, in Jacksonville, wherever we go, we're Christ's hands and feet. And so how often do we go to Publix or go to the doctor and we show people Christ's hands and feet where we're at in their brokenness? How often do we meet people on that Emmaus Road and just meet them where they're at, not be judgmental, but meet them in their brokenness? That's what we're called to do as Christians. So I just want to unpack this a little bit more. And so then, all of a sudden, they think it's a spirit, and they're all wondering, who is this guy? And he says, give me something to eat. And then he eats, and he says, the spirit doesn't eat. And, you know, that just, it amazes me, because one day, you know, unless Christ comes back here, we're all going to exit this earth, and our spirit's going to go somewhere in the meantime, between now and Christ coming back, and then we're going to be redeemed. We're going to have a new body and a new earth. And we're going to have that transformed body. But we live in this area the disciples were living in. We live in this area of the unknown. We are in between Calvary and the full redemption of our earth. We live in this area of the unknown. And, you know, sometimes that's scary. But that's where we live at. And so we can only find peace for ourselves and others in Jesus. And he came to them and said, peace be with you. You know, yeah, we live in the unknown, but we have this peace that comes upon us that we can understand that, and the scriptures get revealed to us. This is really so awesome. So then, you know, he says, you have everything here. You have everything to eat. And then he says, these are my words I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written in the law of Moses and the prophets will kind of be fulfilled. So I want to stop there and just look back. Look back at what was fulfilled in the law of Moses. There's so much to unpack here. I love the Word of God, and there's so much to this and to see. And so, you know, so we go back to Genesis, and we go back to the fall of mankind. And we go back to where the serpent was talking, came to the tree and asked Eve, you know, did God really say don't eat of the fruit? And if we look back at that, God never told Eve that. God told her husband Adam that. And then Adam told Eve that. And we got to think about this too. We you know, if we told somebody today that we heard a serpent speak, we'd be put in a straitjacket, like you're crazy. But we get launched back into Eden, back into Narnia, where animals and these things would speak. And this serpent came to Adam and Eve and spoke to them. And it was before Christ cast into the ground to crawl. He walked upright, the serpent, at this time. And so he may have looked Adam and Eve in the eye and said, did God really tell you this, Eve? And Eve said, no. And he, you know, so she ate of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, and everything was revealed to her. I mean, before that, she didn't know any of this stuff. And she ate of this, and then they saw they were naked. And, you know, and then God came walking in the garden, and all of a sudden, you know, here they are, hiding from God. I mean, how many of us think we can hide from God in our brokenness? How many of us think we can do something and we can just get in a corner and curl back and hide? We can't hide from God, our Creator. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And so they tried to hide from God, and then God ultimately killed an animal, and he covered them with that. So we look at our story today. Christ had to unveil things in the Old Testament, and we see this animal that God killed to temporarily cover them of their sin, of their nakedness. So we see that in Genesis. And then all of a sudden we get launched forward to Abraham. God calls this guy out of Ur to come and be a nation for him. Leave your land and go to this place. I'm going to make you a nation there. They don't have any kids, he and Sarah. And so he finally gets a son, and God says, take your son to the mountain and sacrifice him. Well, think about this. Abraham placed a bundle of wood on Isaac's back to carry up there for the sacrifice. But it wasn't Isaac's job to bear that burden. It was ultimately Christ who put that wood on his back and bared my burden and bared your burden to redeem us. It was this example in the Bible. So then, you know, there's you go to Leviticus. And this is my favorite part of the Bible. We go to Leviticus, and God tells Moses about redemption in the Day of Atonement. Rum Kippur, as the Jewish people call it. It's the most holy day of the year, the Jewish calendar, when we have this temporary blood that's sacrificed for our sins. And, you know, over and over again, they had to bring these sacrifices to the altar when you did something wrong and to cover your sin. There's a temporary covering over us. You know, only one blood can be sacrificed, the Lamb of God, to do this. So year after year, day after day, they bring the sheep, and they'd lay their hand on the sheep, and the priest would slaughter this sheep and throw blood on the altar and on the tabernacle to redeem their sin temporarily. But then, you know what? We're broken people. They go out and they treat their neighbor poorly, or they work on the Sabbath. They drag their rake, and they say they can't do that on the Sabbath. And so, there again, we're lost. We're lost in this brokenness and sin. But ultimately, God sent his son. It says in John that the Word became flesh, and it says the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God came to our earth, thank God, and bore that cross, took the punishment for all of our sins, and ultimately shed his blood on the cross at Calvary for us. And so then we have true redemption. Those of us that believe in the blood of the Lamb, that believe in Jesus, we have true redemption. And you know what? Our sin is cast so far away from the east and the west. We are truly redeemed. And so this is where we tie in our ministry in Honduras. You know, we all get rescued. And rescue is different than being redeemed and transformed. You know, Jesus rescued us on the cross. He died for my sin. He rescued me because I believe in his blood. I believe in him. He rescued me from death. I will not ultimately die because I was rescued by Christ. But then he asked for each one of us to be transformed and redeemed. And so Kim and I, what we're trying to do in Honduras, we've rescued these kids from the gates of hell, but we rescued them. Now we're trying to bring them the full healing. And you know, like I was sharing with Craig this morning, it's really funny because as you work through this process with patients or children or whoever you're dealing with or your fellow family or friends of getting them healed, God real stuff in your life that needs to be healed. You know, it's really funny as you get older, and I'm 48 now, and it was revealed to me about 2 years ago something I carried around me since childhood. And it's like, I carried this crap around with me since childhood. I shouldn't even have been carrying it because at the cross of Calvary, that was done. But we as humans, we carry this stuff around with us. And so as we work through these things with our children, and as we work alongside them, God reveals us in our brokenness. And then God redeems us and shows us, you know what, Mike, I want you to lay this at my feet again. And I want you to leave it here. And I want you to go forward without that anymore because it's a burden to be carried. So how many of us today have come here this morning that we have something broken in our lives that God is calling us to be redeemed to? I ask you this morning as you think about that and as you pray about that, don't carry that with you any longer because that burden is not meant for you to carry because Christ put that burden on his back and took that burden to Calvary for you. So please leave that burden here. If you need prayer for that burden this morning, or you want to pray with me or Craig or anybody else on the prayer team, please come forward and pray about that and leave that burden here. So we have to go back to the fall again. I mean, this is really cool. God revealed this to me. So at the fall of man, we talked about that they ate of the tree of life. I mean, they ate of the knowledge of good and evil. And God blocked them from eating the tree of life because the tree of life, if they had eaten of it, they would live forever in their sin. So God blocked the way. And in the Bible it says God walked by the tree of life so they couldn't get back to it. Think about that word way. That's a path. God blocked the way to the tree of life. And then Christ ultimately came and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The only path back to that tree of life again is through Calvary. It's through laying our brokenness, laying our burdens, laying our stuff we need to lay beside, laying it at the foot of Calvary and taking that path back to the Garden of Eden, to the tree of life. And Jesus can only give you life. He can only redeem you. And so Kim and I are trying to show our children this, and as I go out and share with people like you, you know, the Word of God is very clear about this. And there's so many people that don't hear this, but I ask for you to hear this morning because this is what we're called to do as ministers of the Word, as disciples of Jesus, as we go out to our workplaces, as we go out to play baseball or do anything, we're called to bring the light out into this darkness. And not only as missionaries, not only as preachers, but as lay people, we're called to come here to this church today and hear the Word of God and bring it out to a lost and broken world. So I ask you, I challenge you this morning, who is God calling you to bring light to? Who is God calling you to reach, to meet on that Emmaus road and to walk alongside them for a while? Is there somebody that comes to mind? Please take the opportunity and share that with them. So when we talk about the way and the path, you know, we all, as we mature in our spiritual walk, and as we mature as a ministry, we get to a point where we have to partner with other ministries, partner with other people, or join a different church, or join whatever. So Kim and I have been in deep prayer for the past couple of years. We now have 17 children in our children's home in Honduras. Kim and I have been blessed by God to be used to change 17 children's lives. But we're getting to a point in ministry is we can't carry this burden anymore by ourselves. We've had this thing on our back, and we can't carry it by ourselves. So Kim and I have been working for the past about year and a half, working with a nonprofit out of Texas called Orphan Outreach. We're going to be going next week and signing the final documents with them. We are partnering with them. We're going to kind of dissolve our nonprofit, which is based here at Redeemer, and we're going to join Orphan Outreach, who does orphan care around the world, not only in Honduras, but in Africa, China, Indonesia. They do orphan care around the world. We're going to be SANS missionaries still. We're SANS missionaries sent by Redeemer, SANS missionaries. We're going to be on loan to Orphan Outreach and joining them. They have a child sponsorship program online. They're going to be doing all of our tax stuff for us. They're going to get all the teams to come down and see us, give me more opportunities in our churches to speak, to raise funds. I'm still the fundraiser for that project, but we're going to be under their authority and have a broader base to fundraise. And more people come alongside of us. They're going to hire a Honduran director to take Kim and my spots. So within about a year and a half to 2 years, Kim and I will be placed somewhere else in ministry. I don't know where that's at right now, but I know God will reveal that to us. So I just want to share that with you this morning. And so as we think about this and as we transform this ministry and transform ourselves, like I said, I come back to looking inward to ourselves and asking, as we get transformed, Kim and I, how is God transforming you? And so I ask you again to think about that today. If there's something you need to lay at the cross this morning, this is the time to do it. If there's something God's calling you to do, just step out of your comfort zone to do something in your community, I'm asking you to do it. And I just want to thank you for your support for Kim and I, for what y'all have done and what we have done through you, because without being sent to Honduras by a great supporting church as Redeemer, we could not have accomplished the kingdom building things we've done. And so I want to honor and thank you this morning as a parish family for what you've done for us. And like I say, when I come in churches and preach, you know, more than I've changed Honduras, as you can see, Honduras has changed this broken man and made me more whole. So I thank God for that. So thank you for your time this morning, and I hope this touches a part in your life, and I thank you for your support and your prayers for Kim and I. Thank you.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please kneel or be seated for prayer.
Please kneel or be seated for prayer. For the peace of the whole world and for the well-being and unity of the people of God, let us pray to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for your church throughout the world, for the Anglican Church in North America, for our diocese, and for the clergy and staff, lay leadership, volunteers, and ministries of Church of the Redeemer. And thank you for sending us back a word from Mike today on one of those outreach. Lord, in your mercy, Help us, Lord, to fulfill your great commission, beginning in Jacksonville, extending to Florida, to our nation, and to the rest of the world. Today, we specifically pray for the Fortress Ministries in China and New Life Child Development in Uganda. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for your peace, your justice, and your work among the nations, for our President Donald, Governor Rick, our Mayor Lenny, and all government leaders, and for those serving our country and our community. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, for those in prison, for those struggling with addictions, and for those in any other need or trouble. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who do not know you, that they may seek you and be found by you.
Jesus, we are really thankful. We just thank you for your redeeming grace on the cross. Yes, let us be faithful to take this word of life and hope to a dying world.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you for the life.